What is the date today?
Can never go wrong with pink. Right, Nick? I see you in a lot of pink.
Alrighty. We'll quickly start the meeting. All right. Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Kalker meeting on the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It is Wednesday, August 20th, for our regular scheduled commission meeting, approximately a little bit after 10 o'clock. See, the only comments I would offer up is just last Thursday and Friday, I had the opportunity to meet with Southern Company, and they got a good tour of North Dakota. We went out and toured the coal mines, the Dakota Gas Plant. They really got a good exposure of what opportunity exists in North Dakota for coal generation, for wind generation, for natural gas generation. I know there was a lot of meetings with Southern Company and the different investor owns as well as Basin. And then on Friday, with the chance, basically, we all sat in Basin's boardroom and kind of just did a big walkthrough of what Southern Company brings to the table. So it's exciting that we continue to see more companies to look in North Dakota to build wind, to build natural gas, and now we're even seeing potential companies coming in looking at coal plants. So a very good meeting. And let's see, also last week we did a lot of work with the Call Before You Dig. So actually this weekend I found out on Saturday, One Call is sponsoring the Red Hawks baseball game. So the first 1,000 fans in will get a baseball that has 811 on it. So I think Karen and I will be there for that event. So.
And aren't you doing something special at that event?
Word has it I'll be throwing out the opening pitch. So for those of you that have seen House of Cards, I will be practicing this week. All right. Commissioner Crispin.
It'll be a packed house in Fargo at Newman Field. Well, a couple of very interesting meetings since our last meeting, which these are always very interesting, but I was up in Minot for one of the meetings that Commissioner Fedorchek was at the Fargo one with BNSF, and I was at the Minot one when the federal delegation and ag leaders from around the state met with CP Rail and covered a lot of ground and continued to provide the encouragement that I think is needed to try and get more of the grain shipped and get this backlog worked down before the harvest really starts to get real busy. I think both the railroads have been very lucky here that our summer has been so cool and that seeding was late, and it is definitely giving them a few extra weeks of time to get this backlog whittled down. And so progress is being made, and now I understand STB is planning a field hearing right out here in North Dakota, and this isn't a common occurrence that STB would hold a field hearing out in the country like this. I believe the last time that they had a hearing in the Midwest is, I don't know, not in the last few years. It's many years ago, and so this is a rare occurrence that I think further exemplifies the seriousness of this problem. So I think we're making progress on that. Their reports are that they're making progress, but it just that it probably hasn't been fast enough. And so we hope to continue to speed up the progress that they're making. Secondly, our meeting yesterday with the utilities regarding EPA's 111D rule was, I thought, very interesting. A lot of valuable information exchanged and did a lot, I think, to help me as I plan for our meeting on September 10th on reliability and also start contemplating what our comments ought to be to the EPA. Those are due in October, and I thought yesterday was extraordinarily helpful.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Ford, Jack.
Well, Randy, you stole my thunder. The very two things I was going to mention. We must be thinking alike this morning.
Except I don't have pink.
You're forgiven. The meeting with the STB is a really great opportunity for farmers. I want to emphasize to the folks here that this is pretty rare for the actual board to come out to field hearings, and that's what's happening here. The three members of the STB are going to be in attendance at that hearing. And listening to whoever wants to show up and express their concerns. So this is an open invitation to the shippers who are out there who have issues that they want to express, both immediate issues and some of the long-term issues. We know there's some immediate problems that need to be addressed. I'm also interested in what kind of solutions can be suggested or might be out there to help address some of these problems that recur year after year. So if our farmers and shippers have some of those suggestions, now would be the time to share that with the Surface Transportation Board members directly. So it's a great opportunity. I'd like to say we had a hand in it in encouraging them to come out here, because we sent them a very poignant letter a couple weeks ago expressing some of our concerns about what's happening in North Dakota and urging them to take some action. So this is a step in the right direction. In terms of the reliability conference, we'll be talking about this and providing an update to the full commission in our admin agenda discussion portion of the meeting. But we have a great lineup set for September 10th in Fargo. It's going to be a half-day forum, and the title is Electric Reliability, Keeping the Lights On in North Dakota. And this is there's two purposes here. One, it's we want an ongoing discussion with the public about some of these issues that are occurring and how they stand to affect consumers. The 111D, or the Clean Air Act proposal, I guess it's called the Clean Air Plan by the EPA, really is going to have some sweeping changes for the electric industry. It's a transformation of this industry, really. And with this level of change, I think the public needs to know what's going on, what some of the costs are going to be, and what the ultimate benefits of this proposal are. And so this discussion is going to be partly on that and partly on just really nuts and bolts. How does the situation look in North Dakota in terms of generation adequacy? What do the powers that be in the MISO transmission region and the NERC, which is the federal agency responsible for reliability, how do they view our reliability in the next, you know, in the near term and the long term? And what are some of the issues we need to be aware of? We don't want to be short on power, and we as a commission want to be advocating for whatever needs to be done to ensure that the lights stay on in North Dakota and everything else. So that's the focus of this agenda. Tony Clark will be there kicking it off in the morning, and then the head of NERC, which is the Federal Reliability Agency, will be there, Jerry Colley, and providing sort of their overview of our region and our how they view our reliability in an assessment. And then the MISO, leader in MISO will be there providing some of their up-to-date data on what they see in terms of generation and modeling. And then we'll have a roundtable discussion with all of the utilities in this region, all the generators in this region, talking about what kind of issues they see. So it'll be an action-packed morning with a lot of good discussion on issues that really do have some specific impact to North Dakota consumers. So now you don't have to stay for the admin discussion.
All right. Thank you, Julie.
Unless, of course, you want to. You're always welcome.
Between Randy and Julie, I think they hit, I mean, a lot of really the big points. The one thing I think for me that the more I fully understand what the goal here is, you know, the rules are proposed now, and then June of 2015 they become final. So I think June of 2015 you'll see a lot of lawsuits filed around the country. And so that'll be one path. But then state commissions and state EPA, state health departments are really going to, I think, have to make a big decision of what's a state right and what's a federal right. That's what I think the whole setup on this is, because one thing that came pretty clear yesterday was that the way this plan would lay out, a lot of things that normally the Public Service Commission is tasked with, we're directed to do, that we move to the federal government level. So that's my biggest concern as we go into this. I want to look at all the things that both my colleagues talked about, but the biggest fundamental shift I think that could happen here is that what normally your state commissions do to decide what generation you're going to have, what cost allocation goes to customers, that would be moved to the federal level. And so that's, at this point in time, you know, my biggest concern. And the second biggest concern is, of course, how this would affect reliability. So it is a big change of what's proposed out there. But I always put out there, it's proposed. Wait till June of 2015 till we see what it finally looks like. So, but it's going to be a good one. So I think Julie took the lead in setting this up. So thanks for doing that.
Welcome.
Okay, anything else, commissioners? All right, we have several items on consent, a whole bunch, actually. I'd move passage of the consent items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there a further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK1. I move the Commission adopt the order issuing Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity number 5841 to Northern State Power Company, 150-megawatt Border Winds Project, Rolette County, North Dakota, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU13-743.
Second.
A lot of background on this case. I'll kind of hit the high points. In August of last year, NSP filed an application for a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity for the purchase of the proposed Border Wind Project to be located in Rolette County, North Dakota. We consolidated the hearings a couple months later. But the big thing was in December of 2013, NSP and our advocacy staff filed the commission a comprehensive settlement revolving all open issues in a rate case we are currently involved in. And there was a time when these PCNNs were contemplated in that rate case. But basically, we moved through the rate case and we were silent on the PCNN in this project. And that was just the way it played out. But after going through this, NSP would like the commission to make a decision on it. And you know, myself, I think it's a very good idea. The commission has issued an advance determination of prudence on this back in case number PU13-742. So the way this kind of lays out is the commission had already issued an ADP on it. Still a lot of questions sometimes in people's mind, myself included sometimes, about what a PCNN gives you that an ADP doesn't give you. But I think in my mind the biggest difference that when we issue a PCNN to a company, they now have an obligation to build this. And so I certainly support this PCNN because it ties into the long-term power needs of what they're going to do, as well as in that settlement agreement they have agreed to the 400 megawatts of thermal generation. So I think it's all very appropriate to tie this up. A little background on this actual case. The commission first saw this in May of 2011 when Sequoia Wind did a hearing up in the Rolette area on a wind farm. And after that period of time, they eventually ended up requesting the transfer to Border Winds Energy in April of 2014. And then just recently in February of this year, we issued the ADP like I talked about. So this project has been, quote-unquote, approved for construction for quite some time, but this is the final step, I believe, to now the person, the RES that's going to be building the wind farm has someone who's going to buy the power, so this should all come together very nicely.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK2. I move the commission adopt the consent order in Public Service Commission Selen Construction, Inc. Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number GS13-802.
Second.
In September of last year, the commission received a North Dakota one-call complaint form from Paul Riley, District Gas Superintendent for MDU. The complaint alleged a violation by Selen of North Dakota Century Code, the one-call evacuation notice system. So our staff, during the review of it, of course, they followed through on all the appropriate questions and determined that Selen began an excavation as defined in North Dakota while installing the natural gas distribution system and other utilities at the Meadowlark Subdivision, corner of 70th Street East and University Avenue North, Williston, North Dakota. As a result of the Selen excavation, a common trench for these utility installations was damaged on July 19th to three gas services. The cost of the damage was $3,266. Our staff also determined during the investigation that the Selen did have a locate ticket that was appropriate, but during construction, they did not exercise care required. They did not excavate in a careful and prudent manner. And so what's interesting about this case is that Selen also did not notify the operator, MDU, that they had caused the damage. So this is the first time that we've had someone who, this is their first time they've been in front of us, that the proposed staff fine is $2,000, and I certainly agree with that. And the reason that it goes right to $2,000 for their first violation is that, one, they did have a locate ticket, which that shows they were trying to do it right. But they didn't use care required, which is one thing. But the biggest thing here is once they hit the installation, if you will, they didn't tell anybody. And that's why the staff recommended, and I fully agree, the $2,000 fine. So that's a lot for the first time, but I think it's very appropriate. Selen did pay the damages of $3,266 to MDU, and everything is in order in this case. This is now our 27th enforcement action since 2011, if you will. So you know, we just got to keep working. I talked about it in my opening comments. I think we're continuing to get the awareness out there. You can tell when you travel around the state, everyone's doing the locates, but it's just because you call in for the locate doesn't mean you can just start digging away up there. And the part that, like I said, is the most concerning here is that if someone does hit something, that tell somebody right away. That's the most important thing, that damage happens, let people know so you don't have further damages.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And finally, for me, BK3, believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest in finding the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the Commission consolidate the caption cases under North Dakota Administration Code Section 6902.0404 and issue a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearings in Roberts County Telephone Cooperative Association of New Effington, South Dakota, Local Exchange, PCNN Case Number PU14-682, and Roberts County Telephone Cooperative Association of New Effington, South Dakota, Designated Eligible Carrier Application Case Number PU14-683.
Second.
In August of this year, Roberts County Telephone Association of New Effington, South Dakota filed an application for a certificate of PCNN to provide facilities-based incumbent local exchange telecommunication services in the North Veblen Exchange in North Dakota. So we'll see if Dave knows where the North Veblen Exchange is at. The basically want to make sure they're able to do services. Also in August, Roberts County filed an application for an expansion of their ETC designation in the North Veblen Exchange in North Dakota. Basically, the companies, individuals have until September 23rd of this year to request a hearing. If no one requests a hearing, we can do this in informal. Let's see, there was one more piece here that I'm missing. Oh, here we go. The driver for this is really that the Roberts County North Veblen Exchange is located. Currently served by RC Communications, and they effectively merged into Roberts County this last year. Let's look at this one more time. I'm reading this wrong. The North Veblen Exchange is currently served by RC Communications, and Roberts County reports that they have now merged into the Roberts County RC Communications. So that's the driver. There was a merging of business assets. And for those that's wondering, I had to go look at this. The North Veblen Exchange is basically that south of Wapton, right along that South Dakota border area. So if we're talking, that's New Effington, South Dakota is the northeast portion of South Dakota. So it's that exchange right in there. So it was basically a merger of services that now the company that they merged into is requesting the designations to serve those customers.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I don't recall. Did you mention that the comments and requests for hearing must be received by September 23rd?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Sorry.
All right. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. That concludes the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Christman.
Okay, RC1, I move the Commission approve bond release number 9 to surface coal mining permit number 37 held by BNI Coal Limited for the Center Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on a whopping 1.78 acres located in a portion of the southwest quarter of Section 25, Township 142 North, Range 84 West, in Oliver County. The amount of the bond release is $3,560 and will become effective September 22nd of 2014 unless a formal hearing is requested.
Second.
The reclamation division, let me start over here. BNI was required to demonstrate that the productivity of the reclaimed cropland and hayland has been restored to the pre-mine level. A reclamation success was demonstrated on this tract using samples from the hayland portion of the tract due to the small size of the bond release tract. In 2006, the landowner gave BNI permission to use hayland standards to demonstrate reclamation success on this tract of less than 2 acres. The formal bond release inspection was conducted on October 8th of 2013. The surface owners, the Oliver County Commissioners, and several state and federal agencies were invited to participate in the inspection. The surface owner was represented by two family members, and they did not express any concerns with the bond release tract. Notice of the final bond release application was published by BNI in the official county newspaper, which is the Center Republican, during September and October of 2013, and no objections to the release were received. Our jurisdiction over this 1.78-acre tract will end once the release becomes effective, unless a formal hearing is requested. Our Reclamation Division has completed its review of this application and recommends that the application be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC2, I move the Commission adopt an order in case number GE-14-658, canceling warehouse license number 1241 issued to Full Circle Ag at Havana, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Havana under license number 1241 is discontinued effective August 1st of 2014.
Second.
On July 30th, Full Circle Ag of Foreman, North Dakota, filed a request to discontinue business for its licensed grain warehouse at Havana. Statute provides that Full Circle Ag must notify all receipt holders at least 30 days before the transfer of the warehouse to call for delivery of their grain or transfer the grain to another licensed facility. Full Circle Ag provided that notice to its receipt holders on June 16th. All of the grain at the Havana warehouse was redelivered to the receipt holders or was transferred to Full Circle Ag's licensed grain warehouses at Gwinner and Foreman. The facility was empty when the request to discontinue business was filed, and just for the record, this facility was sold to private farmers.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC3, I move the Commission adopt an order in case number GE-14-659, canceling roving grain buyer license number 3186 issued to BP and Sons Grain and Storage Incorporated of Morden, Manitoba, and ordering that all North Dakota roving grain buyer activities be discontinued effective August 1st, 2014.
Second.
BP and Sons Grain and Storage notified us that they will no longer purchase grain under their North Dakota roving grain buyer license and asked that license number 3186 be canceled. BP and Sons reported no grain purchases under their roving grain buyer license since January. Staff recommends the request to cancel be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? And see none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC4, I move the Commission adopt an order in case number GE-14-676, canceling warehouse license number 1246, issued to Sun Opta Grains and Foods Incorporated at Fargo, North Dakota, and ordering the business at Fargo under license number 1246 is discontinued effective August 1st, 2014.
Second.
On July 30th, SunOpta Grains and Foods Incorporated of Hope, Minnesota, filed a request to discontinue business effective for its licensed grain warehouse at Fargo. The facility is empty and there are no outstanding storage obligations at this location. You should know SunOpta Grains and Foods does operate a licensed grain warehouse at Grace City. Staff recommends the request be approved.
Do we have a motion and a second? Is there further discussion?
Just one question. Randy, do you know what will happen with the storage facility?
I do not.
Just thinking about, as you said before, the previous one, some farmers bought it, and I'm sure are using it, but knowing how important storage is right now and will continue to be, that's one of the things we've heard with the railroads. It's it may be good to kind of keep track of what happens with these big facilities when they go discontinue business.
The next item on the agenda, we'll see a whole different facility, but what sometimes ultimately happens is it's a one that was previously closed or discontinued and is now being reopened by someone else. But also the earlier one, when it's bought by farmers, then they don't need to license through us, so then we never do really acknowledge the new activity,
right,
typically. So, but in this case, I do not know what the future is for the facility itself.
Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, now we can move to RC5 and go the other way and add a license. I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-14-684, granting the request of S&S Grain Incorporated to operate a 475,000 bushel grain warehouse at Walhalla, North Dakota.
Second.
S&S Grain filed a license application to operate a 475,000 bushel grain warehouse at Walhalla. The warehouse had been licensed by Archer Daniels Midland, who operated it as an ethanol facility until discontinuing business in 2012. S&S Grain informed us that they have not transacted any business as a public warehouseman at the Walhalla facility. Statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends the request be approved.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
RC6, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-14-685, canceling facility-based grain buyer license number 2148, issued to Gavilon Grain, LLC at Valley City, North Dakota, and ordering that business at Valley City, North Dakota, is discontinued.
Second.
The commission received the request to discontinue business from Gavilon Grain of Omaha, Nebraska, for its facility at Valley City. Gavilon operated Valley City under a facility-based grain buyer license. This facility has been leased now to Columbia Grain Incorporated. Columbia Grain currently operates another facility in Valley City under a facility-based grain buyer license. The Century Code provides that if a grain buyer operates two or more facilities in the same city in conjunction with each other, only one license is required for the operation of such facilities. Columbia Grain notified the commission that this leased facility will be operated in conjunction with its Valley City facility-based grain buyer license. So staff recommends that this request be approved as well.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, and I think with this month it probably concludes the sort of flurry of activity with some of these discontinuations and some new licensees that occurs around the end of July and beginning of August time period. So I think that these will be much less frequent after this.
We have
meeting.
A request for a special meeting on discussion, though, Commissioner, so I don't know what's going on.
It's a secret. No, not a secret, not a secret. It's to be taken care of later.
Everything we do is transparent, right?
No secrets here, but we just have to follow the right order.
All right.
Stick around to hear. Everyone's on the edge of their seats now.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Griswold. Commissioner Fedorchak.
All right. I just have one motion today for two cases that we're combining, and it's really represents kind of the completion of a big project in this community. So I move the commission adopt the order on settlement in MDU and a division of MDU Resources, Inc., Generation Resource Recovery Rider Tariff, case number PU-14-108, and Montana Dakota Utility Companies, a division of MDU Resources Group, Inc., Generation Resource Cost Resource Recovery Rider Rates, case number PU-14-109.
Second.
I'm going to dismiss with the formalities of the order and just kind of talk through this. So in February, MDU filed for a generation resource recovery rider to cover the costs of the Heskett 3 gas turbine that they have been constructing out at the Heskett plant north of Mandan. There have been several adjustments over the course of the last few months, and ultimately a settlement agreement this summer between the company and advocacy staff. Over this generation rider, it will pay for the cost of this $76 million facility. Came in 11% under budget. It's an 88-megawatt gas combustion turbine, and it is up and running today in Mandan, and another good addition to the generation resources that MDU has to serve customers in this region and beyond. So this settlement agreement and the order today does really five things. First of all, it creates a tariff mechanism so that MDU can recover the costs of this facility from customers. It establishes the revenue requirement for such a process, and that would be at $5.2 million. But this, as a result of the settlement, they originally came in seeking a little bit over $3 per month from customers to cover these costs. And then they came back a couple months later and took off one piece of the project, which was a pipeline to serve it, a gas pipeline to serve it. They took that off, reduced the cost, so it was just around $2 per month per customer, residential customer. Ultimately, through the settlement process, the agreement is that they aren't going to require any revenues from customers, and they're going to cover the costs with their existing revenues if possible. So there is no rate adjustment with this tariff currently. It just provides a mechanism for them to do that down the road. So the settlement agreement does allow for the company to refile if they can show that a combination of their current and projected earnings is below their established level of 10.75% return on equity. So it's a great deal for customers at this point. We don't expect that they will be asked to pay more for this new generation resource that they have and are receiving services from. But should the company need to, they have a mechanism to come back and get those revenues from customers if their earnings are lower than what they're anticipating today. It also, the second piece of the settlement that is really positive for customers, is that this settlement requires that the company refunds 50% of any revenues in 2014 that are in excess of the 10.75% return. So if MDU makes more revenues than the 10.75% allows, customers will share in that growth 50%. So two good elements of the order today. I think this has been a real positive process. Appreciate advocacy staff's work on it to bring the revenues down, the revenue needs from customers, new ones down, and to work with the company on this kind of a mechanism that that allows for revenue sharing with customers if there's over earnings, encourages the company to use the existing revenues to cover the cost of this project, and only goes back to customers if they truly need to down the road to cover the cost of this facility. So I think that summarizes what this order spells out today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I would maybe just add, when I first saw the filing on this, my first thought was, why don't we just go to a general rate case? I just thought that would be the best way to go through it, an initial look. But once we got to see the company's proposal and advocacy staff got involved, and as Commissioner Fedorchak laid out, they really put some nice collars in there that guarantees a certain amount to go back to ratepayers. There's no cost to ratepayers as long as MDU keeps getting the returns that they're anticipating. So it's really a good setup. I did like how the fact that MDU pulled the pipeline out of this project as well, and that's going to go into a different business stream, if you will. That makes really good sense, and I think it just shows there might be more projects that use natural gas in that part of Mandan, actually. So the next time MDU files a rate case, this will get pulled back into that rate case discussion. But I think the way this is laid out now is a very good setup. It worked out really well, I think, for everyone.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Daryl. Julie, anything else?
No.
I just had a bit of pontification I just thought about on this 88-megawatt it's a simple cycle. It's not a combined cycle. And yesterday in our discussion with about this 111D, it's interesting how they treat different resources differently, whether it's simple cycle or combined cycle gas. So there'll be a lot more coming about in that. But it's just, I think, one of the challenges that whole 111D, how they give different weights to different resources. And South Dakota's in a heck of a pickle, we found out, because they've got some combined cycle gas that they put online, which means their numbers are very, very high because they're trying to force the running of combined cycle gas into the model. And when companies come in for these rate cases, they say what they believe the costs are going to be on a certain amount of runtime. And so that's the part of when this federal rules would change those numbers, which then could unravel all the way back to what the rates that were initially approved and what the thoughts were going to be on them. So anyway, I don't have any other closing thoughts. Commissioner Crisp, anything?
Nor do I.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Just one, totally unrelated, but I'm sure you all have seen the ice bucket challenge that's circulating. And I was challenged and completed that challenge this morning, and I just wanted you guys to know I thought very hard about naming you two
Bring
as
it.
The next two.
Bring it.
But I got my sisters instead.
Is there a video link to this somewhere that we can see?
Oh, it's pretty bad, but go for it.
Is there a video link? Is it on your website, on your
it's
Facebook?
On Facebook.
Very well, then. I would encourage us all to go to Facebook.
That was my shower this morning.
Well, at least there was a shower. Anyway, you sure Commissioner Crisp was excited we could do it at the ranch?
Yeah, I know. It would have been really fun to see what Randy would have done with that.
He'd have paid his $100. All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Are there any questions from the group?
Well, just so I've got it straight on the MDU thing, if MDU makes over 10.75%, they have to give half that revenue back?
Yes, in 2014.
As credits or
refunds, probably on their customer bill.
Okay. Just because I'm curious, since we're on natural gas, it goes back to a consent agenda to CBK4 about Northern States Power Company.
Sure.
And the order on this PCNN there, what was that all about?
Well, one of the things that the rate case was silent about is the PCNNs for the Hankinson gas plant as well as the wind farm. And so that one, basically the same thing that they initially requested to build it, but that became the big discussion about they requested the PCNN. PCNN became the big discussion in the rate case about trying to leverage them to do something. So in my viewpoint, when the company agreed to build the 400 megawatts of thermal generation, I thought it was appropriate to dismiss the PCNN. That's where the difference, I think, of ADP and PCNN, there's an obligation to build. So basically, I thought it was appropriate to release them of that obligation, even though they requested it, because I'm not convinced that the Hankinson area would be the best area in the future. So we didn't dismiss it with prejudice, so they can bring it back at some time.
So in other words,
and why it was on consent and not at regular, I guess that's just the way it fell out with staff.
So why, in your opinion, Hankinson may not be the best place for this?
Well, I think that's a decision to be made later. That's why when you did the dismiss, we didn't do it with prejudice, because Hankinson may, in fact, be the best place. But when we have MDU Resources building a gas pipeline across the top of the state, Xcel Energy is growing their resources, I just thought it seemed appropriate to dismiss it now, and we'll look at it later if they want to bring it back, depending where the gas infrastructure may or may not be. That's why my comments about the PCNN for the wind farm, because Alana and I, she's not in, there she is, we had a long discussion yesterday about what the difference between a PCNN and ADP is, because it means different things to different people. But the way I settled in is that once the commission issues a PCNN, it's an obligation to build. So had we approved the PCNN for this, they are then obligated to build that. And I did not want to have that obligation to them in this area at this time. But they are obligated under the rate case to build 400 megawatts of thermal generation somewhere in North Dakota. So I think as they find that best location for customers and costs, we'll see something else be filed. And if it's in Hankinson, then so be it. If it's somewhere else, then we'll look at that. I didn't want to force a certain location. Okay, what we voted on today was 150 megawatts, but it was basically the PCNN to the company. So Xcel will be buying 150 megawatts. I'm going to have to dig here a little bit deeper and find the order for the siting that talks about that. We know it will be 150 megawatts. It's in the Rolette County area. I'm trying to give you a better description of it. 66 Siemens 2.3 megawatt wind turbines is what we're looking at. There has been some modifications of it. But basically the best way, I think, where's Jerry at? Jerry, give me the best location. I know it's in the Rolla area, but do you have a better description?
But it's right on the border.
So the eastern side of the county?
It's north of Rolla, and it's just south of the Canadian border.
Yeah, I think it's the St. John's area. If you think of north of Rolla, southeast of St. John's, east of the highway there, it's north of the airport. Now that I thank you, Jerry, that's exactly where it would be at. And one of the things that we had in the initial hearing was that there was some concern about the airport and FAA approval, so it ended up being some tweaks in there. But there's a very good transmission line that runs through that area, which I think really drove the project location. And then some of the things that we discussed about XL, whether this was a quote-unquote good deal or not, was the interconnection costs. And the interconnection costs came back that were good, so that's why this project moved forward.
And so this has been a project that's been like 3 years, basically? Is that?
Well, the commission approved it May 5th of 2011. Okay. And so the siting has been approved for quite some time. But with the challenges of interconnection, they being the initial company, had a hard time finding someone to buy it. And when Excel approached them, I think there was a lot of discussion. They were able to get the interconnection costs down. It fit into what Excel was trying to do with some of their wind generation. That's why today I think the PCNN is the obligation issued to Excel Energy to build this. They have the ADP in place, the siting certificates in place, so this should be the final step of this project moving forward. I can't remember on that. Jerry, do you remember? It's getting into the fall season. I know they have to start some construction for the production tax credit.
If I'm remembering right, I'm thinking they might have already started some roads, but let me check on that for you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Is there a cost on the project?
Let's look back here a little bit. Once again, I'll ask Jerry, do you got a number on top of your head?
In round figures, it would be a couple $100 million.
Yeah, but we need to get it. Today was a PCNN, so I don't have those cost data right off the top of my head. But there will be a cost. There certainly was a cost range in the ADP that we issued for XL Energy. So can we dig that out, Jerry, and then get that?
Yes, I'll find it.
Because that's where there's a proposed cost of what the company would have said in the siting. And then there will be a cost that XL Energy will bring back in front of us at some point in time in a rate case. And we may have already done that. I'll have to look for you, Mike. Good question, Joel.
To clarify on the RC5 in Walhalla, you said that was the warehouse that was used for the ethanol plant?
That's correct.
And so this probably says that... Archer Daniels Midland is not going to reopen anything up there at this point.
Well, it doesn't say that, but I would read that into it, yes, that someone else is running the warehouse part of it.
Do you remember how big that warehouse is? I'm sorry, did you mention?
I did. It's 475.
There also on your consent for your admin,
okay.
There seem to be a lot of maybe.
Yes.
There seem to be a lot of cases concerning One Call.
Well, there certainly are a lot of cases pending in front of us in One Call, so that's part of it. But one of the things that our general counsel, I look over at Alana, she's very thorough to make sure that we don't put someone on one side of a case and then another side of a case while another case is pending. So we'd assigned one of our staff to be a commission advisor on a bunch of cases, but we've got a case that she's advocacy staff that she's defending that side. So until that case is wrapped up, we didn't think she should be on both sides of the fence, if you will. So it's more of staff just making sure that we dot all the I's and cross the T's. But we do have several cases pending in front of us on violations of One Call. And that was one of the meetings all three of us went to the One Call board meeting last week. And there was some frustration on the One Call board why we can't move quicker on this. When we get the complaint and we walk them through, there's due process. Someone files this complaint, the staff reviews it, they get in the notice period, and some people just they will go through the full hearing process. So it takes some time.
Also, the Animal Appeals Wind Project that sounds familiar. That's something that's a new file in the siting application. That's on the new cases report. I think the LTEP project before. It seems like I've heard of that before, but
I'd not heard of it till we saw it. But yeah, Jerry probably had.
We just got the application for that, and so it's under staff review now.
But one of the things, Mike, what's interesting is that it was the law change at the last session. I think it was a good change. We used to get the letter of intent from the companies and then the application. So we would get the letters of intent, and then we would go, ah, yes, it's coming. Well, now with the projects, we don't typically know about them until the application shows up. And we may hear of, you know, where the company will announce they're going to build Pipeline X and then not even see the application. So, but in this particular case, yeah, I don't think we had any awareness till we got it filed. Okay. Anything else, gentlemen?
Could you just real quick go through the background of that other states one at the beginning again? I didn't catch quite what all the history was anymore.
Yeah, okay. Let's see if we can walk through it. Sure. What today's... Yeah, today's motion was the Public Service Commission issuing a public convenience and necessity to Xcel Energy on the wind farm, the 150 megawatts border wind project. So today's motion was very simply a tying up the last, PSC requirement obligation to NSP. It's kind of where we'd issued, the commission had issued advance determination of prudence saying that if you buy this, we think it's prudent. When you come back, we'll talk about the exact amount you'll get in rate return. But the difference, the way I see it on a PCNN, is there's now an obligation for the company to build this. Where an ADP, it's not necessarily an obligation to build. It's a fine legal term, I think. And so that was what today did. The background on the project, though, was in May of 2011, the commission approved the siting of a wind farm that was owned by Sequoia Wind at that time. And over the last few years, Sequoia has struggled to find a buyer of the power. At one point in time, we transferred it to Border Winds Energy, and they then have since been able to, I think, work out the transmission issues, the interconnect issues, which then have allowed Xcel Energy to purchase the power from this. So that kind of lays it out. I just wanted to give the background on it today. It wasn't as simple as just a PCNN. There was a lot of background on this wind farm, and it just goes to show that a lot of times we'll do the siting of a project, but until the company that does the site or has the siting certificate can buy a power, someone to purchase it, you're not going to have a project. And those are two different things that we have different roles in, a siting role, and then depending who they purchase, who would purchase the power, we'll probably see it again back in a rate case. And that's where I've said to our investor owns, just because we approve the siting of a project doesn't mean that it means necessarily I'm going to give you a rate return when you come back if Xcel or MDU or Otter Tail chooses to buy it. Yes, I guess this, I think, is the last step that would culminate that all the issues that have existed that have stopped construction of it have now been resolved. You've got a willing buyer that has all the authority to do it from the commission. The siting certificates are still valid. The interconnection issues have been worked out. So I don't see any other hurdles on this other than, of course, the good old North Dakota weather delays that might come into play. April of 2014, this was transferred to Border Winds, transferred and amended. There was, at that point, some tweaks in the turbines as well. And, Jerry, did you find the cost? I know you've been looking at your iPad there.
Well, yes and no. The cost as originally filed with the siting application was $360 million, but that was way back in like 2008 or so when that application was filed. Since then, the cost of wind turbines have come down. I think the cost that we're at now would be much less than that. In the ADP case, the cost information was trade secret protected, so we don't have it available to the public. And so,
but I would submit though, when Xcel comes in for rate recovery, then it'll not be traded. And we'll exactly know what those numbers are.
We'll see if they ask for a trade secret protection on it then, too.
Sure.
But, you know, a good round figure is a couple hundred million.
That's where I think it gets very, I don't want to use the word confusing, but challenging to follow, where you've got the siting, what they recommend the cost will be, but it's until the project is completed and everything is done, we want to know the exact cost, but then that's what Excel would bring that in and we would go through it. But we have issued the ADP on it.
Won't this be part of their renewable recovery rider? I mean, won't the costs be recovered that way?
I'll have to check, but I believe it would be in there.
Mm-hmm. So there would be a line for this?
It might not be yet, though, because they won't take possession of this thing until after it's built.
Right, but when it is,
yeah,
it'll be recovered annually through that renewable generation rider that the company has.
Yeah, and we might have the same trade secret issue there, too. You know, it's a competitive situation out there for purchasing wind power, and so the companies don't want it known when they make deals.
But customers know what they're paying.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a secret.
Good
I mean, point. So they will always know what the costs are that they're going to be recovered. It's just that we don't have those until they are filed and processed through those tariffs.
Yes.
Okay. Well, and we did have, like I said, I remember vividly now after Jerry reminded me, the cost of turbines dropped significantly from 2011 till 2014 when we did the ADP. And so a lot of those numbers for the wind farms have dropped significantly because of the cost of turbines has just basically fell through the bottom. So when we did the ADP on that, was a lot of discussion we had of all those cost numbers laid out. And to Julie's point, exactly correct. Those costs will be 100% transparent to the customers. And I wish we could give you a better number, but we have not fully evaluated that number for the rate cases and the tariff, because those tariffs have to be approved too, those riders. Okay. Oof, good questions. All right. Anything else, gentlemen? Closing comments, Randy, Julie?
No.
Let's go ahead and we'll close this meeting and meet again at 5 after 11 for our administrative portion of our meeting. Thank you.